On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. And hello, and today we have two very special guests of GNEC On the Ground. Jason Hsu, who was the global manager of GNEC Hackathon, and Roy Yu, who was the project manager at GNEC Hackathon. Very important thing that GNEC has done. It's opened up the eyes of so many people. And yet, even if you're a GNEC member and an aficionado, you might be saying right now, what's a hackathon? Did I miss something? Yes, you missed something. And that's why we have Jason and Roy with us today to explain what you missed, but have no fear, because they're going to tell you how you can participate in the next hackathon. So let me start right now with Jason Hsu. So you were the project, the global manager here at Hackathon. Actually, in a way, it was your creation. Tell us a little bit, what is a hackathon? And how were you inspired to make this happen?
I'm glad you asked that. So a hackathon is an event where communities of individuals are pitted together in a competition-like environment to compete for prizes while solving challenges that the hackathon owners can then propose. In the GNEC hackathon, what we had were the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And why we did this was so that the United Nations and GNEC could have a platform to scout for talent and scout for innovative solutions to these sustainable development goals, which have been problems that need to be addressed before 2030. And why I was inspired to do this is because in my lifelong passion, although I'm only 17 years old, for my entire life, I wanted to address STEM vacuums that I found throughout communities that I am in. So I want to make sure that everyone has a chance at competitions, which will then allow them to strengthen their STEM knowledge and also further their STEM interests. So hackathons allow the perfect medium of that, because through workshops and also team building activities in the hackathon, you're able to leverage your skills and learn more while also being able to demonstrate those same skills that you learn through making the projects.
So it's an intense educational experience in the STEM world, but it's also like a think tank where people are bringing their ideas together, and who knows what innovations can occur. And frankly, I, as a member of GNEC, I'm just so proud that they have a platform and offer that. Now let's get to some nuts and bolts here. We'll speak to Roy. Now, Roy is the project manager. And this is great conceptually, but you have to bring it into the real world. So how many people participated? How did they know about it? How did GNEC go about having what I understand to be one of the most successful hackathons in this particular arena anywhere? So how did you manage this project? And were there any issues that you would like to fix for the next time?
Right. So, I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think our hackathon, you know, was a great success. We had, you know, over 600 participants join us from all across the globe, I think almost over 50 different countries. And, you know, it was really great because, you know, with all these diverse backgrounds and participants, you know, all kinds of different ideas emerged. And it was, you know, really great to see all these different projects and perspectives come about throughout the 2-week period. And I think, you know, from our team's perspective, you know, we were really trying to kind of reach out to people, what be it like in person or, you know, online. We went through different kind of marketing campaigns, trying to, you know, promote our event and, you know, get youth interested to kind of participate throughout this event. You know, with the help of almost 20 kind of interns and volunteers, they were able to help send emails to scout for, you know, sponsors and judges who were, you know, really crucial to the execution of this hackathon. You know, the judges, you know, really did a great job kind of fairly grading all of the 57 or 58, sorry, projects that were submitted to the hackathon. And, you know, our sponsors, you know, provided all types of different opportunities, be it like courses or gift cards to the winning participants. So I think it was, you know, just a really great kind of experience. As for going forward, I think, you know, we really want to expand and get more people to, you know, come to this event and get interested for the next hackathon, probably sometime in April to May of next year. So, you know, we're really going to be focusing on expanding our team and, you know, marketing more online and getting more participants interested. So we're really excited for that.
Well, this is wonderful. And you both gave a wonderful overview of what this is about. And we're going to take a little bit of a break to tell everybody all the other wonderful things that GNEC can do for you if you are a member. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to go over to Jason, because Jason really said something of great depth. And that is, he saw some holes, something missing in the world of STEM. And I want to ask him, what is missing and how did the hackathon fill the gaps? Don't you guys go anywhere. And now, news you can use. News you can use is that there is a new prize in town. It started only a couple of years ago by an NGO, and it's called the Earth Prize. And you can take a look at theearthprize.org. I had the privilege of being in Los Angeles for the celebration called Gratitude of the Earth Prize. And we will be having the mentors of the teens that come up with special solutions to difficult earth and environmental problems on our show. And we're always looking for really interesting NGOs that are doing something that they can share, not only their own story, but as we're hearing on the show today, how you can use what they've learned. So take a look at theearthprize.org. I was blown away by these teenagers that created things like a way to save water in laundry when you do the laundry, like creating plastic from watermelon seeds. Yes, you heard that correctly. And so much more. One of the things I did not know was that 60% of food waste does not come from retail stores and what we don't eat. It comes from disease on the farm. And so one of the groups, one of the winners of the Earth Prize, created a way to early detect insect disease so that it can more quickly be taken care of. And this is making a huge difference to farmers actually all over the world. So you can be inspired by these folks. That's the Earth Prize. Okay, we are back, and what we're doing is we're examining one of the things that GNEC has done and so successfully. You heard from the project manager, Roy Yu, that there were 600 participants, 58 projects, giving examples and innovative thoughts about the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. There were sponsors, there were judges, there were prizes. This was a wonderful event, and it was conceived originally by our guest, Jason Sue, who is with us today, because even at the ripe old age of 17, he saw a problem and he thought the hackathon could go a little far to fix it. So when you say that there were pieces missing with regard to STEM, and maybe you should tell people what STEM stands for. I think we all know by now, but tell them anyway. What was missing and how did the hackathon patch it up?
Yeah, so actually, before I answer this question, I'd like to add on to what Roy, you said for the last one, in that some of the issues that we experienced in our last hackathon is that it's more internal. It's on the side of management. I mean, mm-hmm. First year managing a big team of 40 individuals, 20 judges, and 20 interns was quite challenging. And frankly, we didn't really know what to do best. And I guess really peeling back the curtain a little bit and talking about it on like a interior level, there were some issues with marketing, like we didn't know whether or not to continue in-person marketing, which was something that we did in the New York, in the tri-state area, actually.
Yes.
And we realized that online was a lot more impactful. So this season, we're going to stick more to online. And also another issue, especially with the submissions, was that the hackathon allowed a lot of cross submissions, which is people working out of the time frame allotted for 2 weeks. or from a previous hackathon who are then submitting to our project in hopes that they can reach for one of the UN internships, which is among the many prizes that we offer during the hackathon.
Pretty also, good prize.
Yeah, it's quite the motive. A lot of people wanted to get internship opportunities, right? Which is another reason of why hackathons exist as well. It's a good networking opportunity and good place for people to scout talent like the UN and like GNIC.
Yeah.
And as for your question in holes in the world of STEM, STEAM, sorry. So first of all, STEAM stands for science, technology, art, math, and engineering. E stands for engineering, sorry. And pretty much what these are the more like science-y, somewhat traditional, but I think STEAM is trying to portray itself out of the classroom a little bit more, like with more of robotics, which goes into engineering and technology, and like art, it could be like painting. And then math is just math. I mean, it's solving problems. Engineering, like building things. And science, like general science, like life science, biologies, physics, and chemistry. And STEAM is really like the future. Like STEAM, especially in the terms of the tech sector and artificial intelligence, technology is ever advancing, and so should we to keep up with it. And what I've seen, especially in my school communities that have trailed with me throughout these years that really upset me, is that there's a lot of times there's a vacuum, or rather there's just like a lack of STEM opportunities available to students. And especially high school students and middle school students, like the lower you get, the lower level classes get, like the more this seems like to be an issue, because in university and colleges there's a lot of funding. But in high school, when I first came to my school, all that there was a robotics club. And frankly, it was also in its infancy. So it was in its first year. I joined in, saw that it was really disorganized. You know, it could benefit from a lot of improvement. So I talked with the original founders who created that club that year, and gave them some suggestions and ideas, because I came into high school with a little bit of technical background as well. I like to program games and quite frankly, write a lot of scripts in Python, which is a programming language at the time. And I remember just telling them that, like, just talking about robotics is not broad enough to cover all of T, right, in STEM, which is technology. And that,
you have the other letters left there, and there's nothing covering those.
Right. Actually, my school had more in terms of, like, the life sciences. Like, they're more like bio and, like, pre-med, but there just really wasn't much in the field of technology. And honestly, taking out the T of STEM, you have the word seam. So what I've come up with is like an analogy. We're trying to put the T back in the seam and sew the seam up. We're trying to take T and put it back into STEAM. And that's basically what I've said to the founders of that club. And we agreed, and we decided to pivot to general computing as well to cover more of technology. And then in the next year, I, together with some good friends who are also interested in tech, founded my school's first tech challenge team, which is a robotics competition. And we actually advanced to states that year. And also I took part in co-founding another organization called MEGA, the MEGA Education League, which also does hackathons. And actually it was my expertise in this that was in GNIC to help host theirs.
So it was a natural progression. You know, Margaret Mead, great social anthropologist and social scientist, said, never underestimate the ability of a small group of people to make change in the world. In fact, nothing else ever has. And this is such a beautiful example of that kind of philosophy. But I'm going to go over to Roy right now, and I have a little bit of a challenging question. So when Jason said that there was holes or something missing, I did not think that it had to do with curriculum in high school. That was not where my mind went, Roy. Where it went was women, people in other countries that are developing nations or under-resourced nations don't have the same opportunities. That's what I thought he was going to say. Underserved populations and so on. The things that we deal with at the United Nations all the time. Intersectionality, people that have more than one issue in their life. And so I'm going to throw it to you, Mr. Project Manager, as follows. Did you take any look at who was participating? you told us very clearly how many were participating. And I'm very interested to know, from what countries were there women, were women in there? Were there folks from developing nations? And if so, was it stimulating? Did you find innovation was coming from places that are generally not called upon?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think, you know, diversity and kind of, you know, all types of different challenges, you know, with, you know, different groups of people, you know, be it like, you know, maybe women or I guess, you know, marginalized kind of groups of people to get more opportunities is, you know, a really important thing. I mean, I think we did take a, you know, a look at kind of the statistics and, you know, how many people joined and who joined. You know, I mean, it was great. We as I kind of mentioned earlier, we had almost over 50 countries. I think, you know, that was, you know, really diverse. Many people from, I guess, Africa. We had something that stood out to me, many individuals from Nigeria, many individuals from Kenya. We also had individuals from all over Asia, like Indonesia. So I think, you know, that was really great. I mean, I was really happy to see that, you know, so many people were interested, you know, across the world. And, you know, because different people from different backgrounds and different countries, they can really come provide, you know, their unique perspective. So, I mean, it was really great to be able to, you know, see, and that definitely came through in the projects as well. You know, people, I mean, even though this is, you know, hackathon kind of addressing technology, we also saw a lot about, we also saw like different projects like that were more like a business plans or kind of talking about like a way to like address an issue in the world. So, you know, many different individuals came up with, you know, just amazing plans, like, for example, spreading education in areas, you know, that might not have, you know, as many resources. And I think it's also, you know, really important to note that, you know, our interns came from really diverse backgrounds that really, you know, helped kind of grow our participant base. So we had, you know, we basically established kind of different chapters throughout the world. So, you know, we had an India chapter, we had, you know, kind of a Nigeria chapter, like just a couple, just to name them. And, you know, our intern chapter leads basically, you know, worked really hard to reach out to different institutions and kind of organizations and individuals in that country. And they, you know, they were able to bring on more individuals and kind of form a team kind of in that country. And, you know, that was, you know, really great as kind of, you know, expanded our diversity. So I think, you know, those are just some kind of amazing things about our event.
Well, I think it is just astonishing. And of course, you two guys and everybody, all the interns as well, 20 interns, were really learning how to create a movement, how to make change. You know, it's just like the written page. It has a structure. And once you know the structure, you can write. Well, making change in the world, we learn, all the NGOs in GNEC also has a structure. It doesn't really matter what your mission is. If you grasp the structure, you can use it over and over again. That's exactly what you're doing. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break and tell you again how you can get involved in many of the GNEC activities, particularly if you are interested in the free courses that GNEC offers. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask both Jason and Roy the same question, which is going to be, what were their favorite ideas that came out of this? Don't you guys go anywhere. And now some news you can use. Did you know that you can create a course and that that course can be posted free of charge? They do all of the work on the GNEC course outlines. Yes, it can. So if you are an NGO that has a special technique for strategy, for fundraising, for staffing, for getting your constituents to take part, something else that is really working for you, that you think can be a model for other NGOs, you can create a course. And not only create that course, but you can have it posted for the almost 2,000 NGOs represented by GNEC. Now, how do you do that? Very simple. You go to gnec.ngo, gnec.ngo, you take a look at the services that GNIC offers you as a member. They include almost 40,000 courses that can be useful to you or your constituents in many areas of learning, but also offer you a platform to put on your own course. Well, we are back now, and this has been such a refreshing conversation because, if you don't know, our podcast On the Ground is supposed to be about what's working. And there was a very particular reason for that. Because when you get NGOs, non-governmental organizations together, often you hear about what's not working. There are a lot of things that are at great issue in this world, and they're very difficult to tackle. And so you'll hear a lot of frustration. You'll even hear about burnout. But this hackathon is one of those things that's really working, and that's why we are featuring it in this month's show. So what it really is about, as we hear from Jason and Roy, is creating things that will work in the future. So we'll start with Jason. What impressed you? What did you think, whether or not they won the prize or the judges liked them, you personally, what impressed you with regard to things that the folks had come up with, participants came up with?
Yeah, so this one didn't necessarily win the prize, but I think it won my heart. But what they did was essentially they created a artificial intelligence algorithm that does pose tracking. So what essentially that means is it grabs points of your body, like hands and wrist joints and elbows, and it creates a AI, artificial intelligence workout assistant. And this project was designed to help those who have been, who are unable to move some parts of their body and perform correct exercises through calculating angles of rotation between each joint and like distances. And I thought that this was really interesting. I'm not too sure how the judges decided on this one, but I just thought that was a really interesting idea, especially now that AI is all the craze with all ChatGPT and stuff like that. But it's a different use of artificial intelligence. Yes.
Very humane use.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, by the way, most of the folks are younger, but was there an age limit for being part of this hackathon? Was there a grade limit?
No, never. Like Roy, you said, I think you did a pretty good job of summing up the diversity, but we also wanted to accept people because we ourselves are high school students, right? We don't want to cut out anyone because we've felt being cut out. That's the reason that there were the aforementioned holes, right? In like the system for STEM. Yeah, we felt that. So we want to make sure that that doesn't get imposed on anyone else. So no, there was not an age limit and there's no geolocation restrictions either, which wherever place could access the website is able to sign up and participate in the hackathon. So we
had this is important. Is that website still ongoing or are you going to resurrect it right before the next hackathon?
We're going to we have a new page for the next hackathon. And if you can actually attach it at the end of the interview.
We will. We'll have it in our show notes. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So we have a new page created for our next hackathon, which will be April to May, as Roy stated.
Right, in 2024. So April to May 2024. Watch for that. And we will have that in our show notes. Now, let's go over for the similar question. To Roy, whether they won or not, what impressed you? You said, gee, this is a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I mentioned, like there were so many amazing projects, you know, I think, you know, the one Jason mentioned was, you know, really cool. I personally really enjoyed that one as well. And kind of staying on topic with like kind of AI. And, you know, I mean, there was like, you know, AI, you know, is such, you know, like a kind of a new thing that's upcoming and, you know, so many people know about it, you know, with ChatGPT and whatever, like these days. But I mean, there was, you know, a lot of creative use of AI in this contest. And I think, you know, I mean, it's worth mentioning the, you know, the number one winner of our hackathon was actually kind of an application called Sitecom. And, you know, it was basically... it kind of uses artificial intelligence. So basically, someone can point it at, you know, just like take a picture of, you know, an item or, you know, kind of a scene, and it will, you know, verbally tell you like what's kind of, you know, in that picture, in that scene. So for example, if you want, you can point it at your desk and it would tell you like there's a computer there, or, you know, I don't know, there's a pencil, there's a keyboard there. And basically this is, you know, really just targeting kind of, you know, helping the lives of, you know, those who might, you know, be visually impaired, or, yes, you know, may not be able to, you know, see that well. So, I mean, you know, I think that's, you know, a great use of AI, you know, just being able to use kind of this new advancing technology to kind of address an issue and improve the lives of, you know, so many people. So I think, you know, that was just a great project.
You know, I just came back from Stanford University that had its annual conference called from the Longevity Center. And it's called, you know, the Centennial Summit. Why? Because there has been a prediction that seems to be coming true pretty rapidly, that our lifespan will be about 115 years. So that people like you, have to think about different stages of life that you actually don't have right now. And that's what the United Nations is also working on. Because part of their sustainable goals is not just that nations be strong, but that individuals be strong throughout the life continuum. So I'm pretty sure that this is a door opener for every stage of life with regard to what these great innovators of all ages are coming up with. So let's go back to Jason, because I'll say that this is your baby, that this is something that came to you through a life experience. Even at age 17, you start it, you worked it, you see the kinks, you're taking the kinks out for the next time. If you could wave a magic wand, what would happen? Would you have more sponsors, more funding, and how would you bring this to the next level?
I think honestly, what we need more is not sponsors or funding, but more passionate individuals who are inclined to do STEM, which is what this hackathon in it as its whole is supposed to aim at addressing. So it's supposed to remedy, like I said, the holes in STEM that we saw in our own individual communities, and really provide a platform that might not exist at other institutions, whether it be colleges, universities, or high schools, or even middle schools. We had a few really, really young and talented people who submitted projects that might have not won, but at least they got the exposure and they got the workshops and the experiences that will help them in their future endeavors.
Well, this is wonderful. And now we'll go back to Roy. As having been around the creations of many things, funding is not something that is so easy. But you did a pretty good job. Let's talk about that for a minute, even though it's not the topest priority. Let's give a shout out to some of those who did support you. Can you name some of the sponsors for us? And we will actually put in our show notes the name of every sponsor. I want to give you guys credit so you'll come back. Tell us a few of the sponsors that supported you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, sponsors were, you know, really a crucial part of our hackathon. You know, without them, you know, we wouldn't have all the amazing prizes and incentives for, you know, our participants. So I think, you know, it's really worth shouting out, you know, certain NGOs that helped us out along the way, such as, you know, WAY, World Assembly of Youth, AYM, African Youth Movement. They were able to, League of Women Voters as well. You know, they were able to provide us with, you know, amazing internship prizes and opportunities for participants that, you know, really inspired them to come out here and do their best during the event. It's also worth mentioning some kind of other sponsors we reached out to, such as AOPS, Alpha Star, 1Password, XYZ, Tascade, just to name a few. You know, they really helped us out by providing, you know, some tech-related prizes or gift cards. So, for example, AOPS provided gift cards for kind of their products and their kind of math programs. So, you know, that was really great for anyone who was really interested in, you know, just having more exposure to mathematics. And I think it was just, you know, super, super cool that, you know, there were so many different prize opportunities for participants. And, you know, they would be able to use these prizes in the future to, you know, grow and develop and make even more, even cooler kind of ideas and innovations. So that was awesome.
Well, I have to say that the two of you are awesome. We're going to take a little break before we end our show to give the folks some news they can use. But you can manage the projects that I have in mind anytime. And I know it's going to be an incredibly successful hackathon next time around. If anyone didn't know what a hackathon was before, they surely know now. And I thank you both so much for being with us. And you know how I end every single show. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is Adrienne Berg saying goodbye for now from On the Ground. See you soon.